Well, thank you, Wendy and kids. That was awesome. That's pretty much my message. It's awesome here. Oh, dear. I'm missing a page of my notes. Wing it. I wonder if it isn't on my desk. Well, that's weird. Might be on my kitchen table still. I'm sure I had it, but it would not. It would not. Well, I'm going to try and wing it. Let's see where we end up here. But it is Thanksgiving in Canada, and it's nice that our nation has set aside a day to appreciate the abundance that we experience here in this country, right? And it's just a wonderful time. I know I took a drive yesterday out. I just love to, you know, see all the fall colors. Now it's probably still sitting on it. Isn't underneath that my, okay. It's sitting on my kitchen table. That's weird. But anyway, I just took a drive out just to look at the colors, see the fields. It was such a beautiful, warm day. And I was just like, man, God, your creation is magnificent. And you know what the crazy thing about it all is? This is the fallen creation, right? So even in its fallenness and in its imperfectness, it's beautiful. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when all heaven and earth are restored to their full, well, not heaven is already in their full glory, but the earth to its full glory? We can't even imagine how glorious it's going to be, how beautiful. All right. Wing it. Go to my notes. Canada, now I can't give you the dates because they were in my notes and I don't know them, but it's like 1578 or something like that. They're counting that as Canada's first Thanksgiving Day. And Martin Frobisher and his crew landed somewhere in what is today known as Nunavut. Back then, it was still called Newfoundland. So, you know, boundaries change. It's way back. But they don't know for sure whether it was on shore or on the ship. They shared their first Thanksgiving meal in Canada. It was salted beef, biscuits, and mushy peas. But here's the thing that's so unique. And then they shared communion to thank the Lord for their blessing and their safe travels. So the Canadian Thanksgiving started by recognizing the body and the blood of Jesus, the work of our Lord and Savior. And so our Thanksgiving is rooted in that. Now, the original date, national holiday was established, I think, in the early 1800s. And it was to be celebrated on November the 6th. Don't know why they picked that day. Maybe that's the day Frobisher landed. But they changed it after the Second World War because, of course, November 11th is when we have Remembrance Day. And so rather than having both of those holidays land on the same weekend, they decided we'll move it to the second Monday of October. And now we know that the day's moved around, so we also celebrate. How many celebrated Thanksgiving yesterday? Anybody? A few people? How many are going to do it today? How many are going to do it tomorrow? See? We haven't settled on a date. We just know there's a time to be thankful and come together. And so that's awesome. And I love, again, the fact that we as Canadians are our holiday of Thanksgiving, our celebration started with recognizing Jesus. And also, just for your information, it was 47 years before the Americans had their first Thanksgiving. So we're just saying. Just saying. When we look at what the Lord has done, Look what the Lord has done. When we look at what the Lord has done in our lives and for everyone, he is a God of abundance. Everything we look at that he does is he does it in abundance. We can even go back to the very beginning, to Genesis chapter 2. I think it's verse 28. But if I'm wrong, hey, I don't have my notes in front of me. But right then, God created man and woman, and then it says, he planted a garden. Who planted the garden? God did. And what did he speak over everything he created? Bless you and multiply. Then he brings Adam and Eve, and he puts them in this blessed, abundant garden so that they could tend it. How many of you have already cleared out your gardens? And yeah. Are you thankful for the abundance that came? Yeah. Some of you are going to be feasting on some of that harvest. God put them in an place of abundance. He provided for them before they took one breath. He put them in this wonderful garden. I'm just going to go through some of the things in history where we see Abraham. Now, we know Abraham's story for us. It starts before we really get a picture of him. But for us, he's how old? 75 when God calls him. And he takes him to a land. He gives him land. What do we know about Abraham? He has lots of flocks and you know, he's got camels and he's got donkeys and he's got sheep and he's got goats and he's got lots. And he's got Lot. Which is the nephew he wasn't supposed to bring with him. But anyway, we won't go there today. But when Abe says to God, I have no descendants, I have no children. God, the God of abundance, takes Abraham outside and he points him up to the night sky and he says, count the stars. Anybody been out and seen some of the starry nights we've had? Oh man, right? And he says, count the stars. Your descendants are going to be greater than the number you can count. And he shows him the sand on the beach, and he says, your descendants are going to be more than that. He's a God of abundance. Here's a little trivia thing for you. Let's see if I can trip you up. Does anybody know how many children Abraham, first generation, had? How many is going to say one?
One with Sarah and some with Keturah.
Right. One with Sarah. One with Sarah's maid, Hagar, right? Don't forget that one. That's important. And then after Sarah passed away, he remarried and he had six more children. Six more children. I can't remember. Anyhow, so if you didn't know that, because sometimes we just say, oh, I only thought he had two. There's a few more there. But it's from the two that we get, well, from the one, Isaac, we have the tribe of Israel that comes forth. The chosen people that God wanted to use to bless the world, to bring his name to the world. God is God of abundance. Okay, how about when Israel was brought out of Egypt into the desert, or actually into the wilderness, a little bit different than a desert, into the wilderness. What did he provide for them there? Manna for heaven. Every morning. And because it got boring. Not pancakes again. And so they did. They grumbled, and guess what he sent them? Quail. So now we got some Cornish game hen and a little pancake. And they got water from a rock, not once, but twice. And there was provision. When the water was bitter, threw in the stick and it made it sweet so they could drink. God is a God of provision and bounty. He provides and he provides. And he even told them, just gather what you need for today. Don't get, you know why you could take it. And the only other day that you took a little extra was on the day before the Sabbath. So the Sabbath day, you didn't have to work. How many of you like a day off where you don't have to work? Ooh, I do. You know, everybody's working for the weekend. Anybody not remember that? A day time off. Whose idea was that? God's. We talked about a couple of weeks back, we talked about the widow and the oil, where she had nothing, and the prophet came to her and said, this is what you need to do. And so she gathered jars and her little bit of oil, she started pouring, and it never ran out until she didn't have another jar to put it in. God of bounty, God of plenty, a generous God. Okay, there's a crazy little story in 2 Kings 7. I was going to read it to you, but I think for time's sake, I'm just going to... 2 Kings 7, go and read the story because, well, I can start in 6 and go to 7. It's crazy. So the area of Samaria, the city of Samaria is under siege, and they're in a famine, a severe famine. And I'm not going to tell you the icky story that's in there, but there's an icky story. And if you like a little ickiness, you can go read that. And you say, why would I like ickiness? Well, some people, you know, just a little curious. But the prophet tells the king, listen, things are going to get better. And there's a whole more stuff of that. And this is how the Lord solved the problem. There's four guys that have leprosy. And they can't be in the city because they have leprosy. And they're outside the gates of the city. And they kind of do this. If we stay here, we'll die. If we go into the city, there's no food, we'll die. So why don't we go to the camp of our enemies there? And maybe they'll have pity on us and take us in. Or maybe they'll kill us and we'll die. So out of four things that could happen, three of them is they could die. So they head off to the camp, and when they get there, at dusk that says they go, and they get there, and there's nobody in the camp. And what has happened is God has sent upon the enemy the sound of chariots and that coming, and they're thinking, the king has gone to Egypt and to the Hittites, and they're sending them, and they're coming to get us. Let's get out of here. And they abandon everything. And so these four men with leprosy go into a tent. They find silver and gold and clothes and food to eat and drink. So they take some of it and they hide it. They come back and they do another tent. And as they're doing this, all of a sudden they said, hey, wait a minute. This isn't right. We need to go tell the king what's happening here so that everybody can get blessed. And so that's what ends up happening. And so my point of this being is the Lord uses some strange circumstances to bless us. Their enemies ended up blessing them. Come on. Right? Their enemies blessed them in that time. Now, like I said, a wonderful, strange little story. But I want you to know that the Bible is full of those stories, or history. History which talks again and again and again of the Lord providing a way out, providing food, providing for his kids, providing and blessing them. Are you his kid this morning? He is a God that wants to bless his kids. We can even look to the story where Jesus looks up to heaven and says, Papa, over the loaves and fishes. Is fishes a word? Is it not fish and fish? Fishes. Okay. You know, like moose and moose, or meese, or moss. I don't know. Mooses. But what happened? It was multiplied. Five loaves and two fishes was multiplied to feed 5,000 plus women and children. That says that. And there was leftovers. He's a God of abundance. He wants to bless. He wants to give. That's his heart. He's got a papa heart. How many of you have I know I'm not even going to ask that because some people have good dads and some people, you know. But you have a heavenly father who is a good father. Who is a good, good father? We sang that this morning. Think about the things you saw Jesus do. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Multiplying the food. There was coins in the fish's mouth to pay for Peter to go pay the taxes. He healed. It says everyone who came to him, he healed. How about Peter's net? When Jesus put the net down And he brought in that net that he'd been fishing all night and caught nothing. Brings in this net so full of fish that it sinks, almost sinks the boat. Provision like that, that's our God. That's how he sees us. He wants to bless us. Now I can find my notes. I'm on my notes. Just say it. So let's think about Thanksgiving according to, well, here's our title this morning. I turn it on first. That always helps. Giving thanks to our God. So happy Thanksgiving, Canada. From Colossians 1, 12 to 14. This is Thanksgiving according to Paul. And giving joyful thanks to our Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son's love, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Okay, if we just do a little breakdown of this and look at what this three little verses are telling us here, we have reason to rejoice, be thankful, and get up and dance if you want to know the truth. First of all, he's qualified you. The finished work of Jesus has qualified you. So if you find yourself thinking things like, I'm not qualified to do that, or I don't think, you know, I'm not worthy, stop yourself and be thankful, because it's not about you, it's about what he's done, and he's qualified you. And the next thing he's done is, I need my glasses. Or healing. I'll take the healing. He's qualified you to share in an inheritance. How many of you have ever received an inheritance? I'll tell you what, that's lovely. I mean, it's unfortunate because you know someone you love has passed away, but it's wonderful when you have been blessed with an inheritance. We've been blessed with the same inheritance that Jesus has received. Now, what did Jesus receive? I'm not going to tell you. I want you to seek it out. That's a treasure to find for yourself. We've got so much in the inheritance of Jesus. He's qualified you and qualified you to receive the inheritance of his holy people. Okay, so who are you now as a believer in Jesus? You're a holy people. And where do you live? In the kingdom of light. You are in a new kingdom. You've been qualified, you've got an inheritance, you're now holy, you're part of the kingdom of light. And then it goes on to say this, he's rescued you from. So he's taking you from something, which is the dominion of darkness, where the enemy wants to wreck you, torture you, take from you, taking you out of there, and he's brought you into the kingdom of his Son's love. Did you know you're loved? And if you don't know that this morning, I just pray, Father, just pour it out on them if they're not. And I just say, just open your heart to receive. Receive what he's done for us. He loves you. He's brought you into the kingdom of his son he loves, and you are now his son who he loves, his daughter who he loves. And we have redemption from our sins and forgiveness. You've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Anybody else? I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My sins are washed away. I have been redeemed. Come on, let's try it again. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Sheep don't pretend that I know I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Man, you know what? I hope you go out, keep singing songs like that. Let the songs bubble up in your heart. Just those three little verses. And there's a whole Bible this thick full of so much more. Are you feeling blessed this morning? Are you feeling thankful this morning? Our Heavenly Father, you know what? He understands we have all kinds of needs. And he gives it to us in abundance. Let's just go here. This is Jesus. And he's just finished telling the story, the parable. Look at the birds of the air and the fields. He says, so don't set your heart on what to eat or what to drink. Don't worry about it. Okay? For the pagans run after such things. And your Father knows you need them. Don't you like it? He's our Father. Okay? Sometimes we get holy God, he is. But we get so much in that we forget he's our Father. He's Papa. He knows you need them, but seek first his kingdom, and all this will be added unto you as well. It says the same thing in Matthew. So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Anybody been worrying about that these last couple of days? What are we going to have for Thanksgiving dinner? What are we going to drink? Oh my gosh, what am I going to wear? I had my outfit picked out for today 2 weeks ago. Just saying. Thought, oh, that'll be a nice, never mind. You do. Girl thing, maybe. Some guys are like that too. It says, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all this will be given to you. I got blessed a couple of weeks ago. I was kind of not moping. I was just saying, Lord, I think I need a few new things. And in walks through the door one day, Shirley. And she had a whole bag of things. And I got a whole bunch of new things. Most of you said, well, I would have rather gone to the store and picked them out myself. Well, I'll tell you what was picked out for me was wonderful. And I was delighted in it. And sometimes maybe you've had that. Somebody's come along and given you something. It's just like, it's perfect. Thank you, Lord. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. Who's his righteousness? Hello, who's God's righteousness? His name is Jesus. He is our righteousness. Seek the kingdom. Seek Jesus, our righteousness. And all the rest, Papa's got it. He's got you covered. Let's move on here. Sorry, put my glasses back on. You know, sometimes we do have a problem where we don't see these things manifest in our life. It's like, we're struggling. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills and feed my family. Sometimes we have those situations. And I want to talk to you about a scripture that's actually a few verses before this. It says, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Now, I want to take a look at our little flock here right now. This is a promise to us here. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. We may be few in numbers and heads here, but we're mighty in the Lord. We have the kingdom. We are praying for our community and our country. And we know the Lord is going to use us to bless them and glorify him. Amen? Don't be afraid, little flock. What's going to happen? Maybe we're... Don't be afraid. Your Father has been pleased. Think about that. He's pleased to give you the kingdom, his kingdom. Oh, that's exciting. Again, coming back to what about not seeing in my own life some of these things manifested? Let's see if I got the right scripture here. No, I don't. Okay, I'm getting ahead or a little bit ahead of myself. So I'm going to read, well, maybe I'm not. I was talking about sometimes in our lives, we don't see it manifest. In Matthew 6:30, and maybe it's there and maybe it's not, it says this. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field. Now, let's think about that. So he's talking again about the birds of the air and the grass of the field and how magnificent it is. And anybody taking a little drive around lately and just looked at creation and what God's doing out there? And it is magnificent. He says, listen. If he's willing to take care of that, and that's how he treats the fields that are here today and tomorrow, they're thrown in the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Now, when we hear that line, you of little faith, we can get freaked out. Oh, I've got to build my faith. I want you to stop right there. Now, I do believe that Jesus is kind of correcting our thinking, everyone's thinking there, of how we view God. First of all, he's letting us know he's your father. He knows how to give good gifts. And he treats creation spectacularly. How do you think he feels about you? You're more valuable than all of this. So you, of little faith, stop putting faith in about you and put it in him. He's correcting the way we're thinking. God loves us. He keeps showing his love for us. Jesus kept showing again. And then he did something really interesting. He recognizes something about us, that we have little faith. Little. And he says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that's all you need to see the mountains move. See, it's not about your faith being big that makes the mountains move. It's about your faith, little faith, in a big God who moves the mountains. And you have mustard-sized seed faith in God. That mountain's coming down. So stop looking at you to do it. Start looking at him who's done it. Now, back to, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. That's the kind of God we serve. And a while back, we looked at ask, seek, and knock. Jesus tells us, Papa is a giver of good gifts. And then it says in Luke 11:13 here, if then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Oh, that's a good gift. How many of you are grateful for the gift of the Holy Spirit? Oh, man. Acts 2, I'm going to just read these to you. They're not up here, so you're going to have to pen them down fast if you're after them. Acts 2:33, exalted to the right hand, that's Jesus, of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured it out. And that's what you see and hear. And there's, that's Peter talking about the first Pentecost, day of Pentecost, when they were dancing and singing and speaking in other tongues. And that's what they were hearing, the poured out Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come. Anybody ever laid down a deposit on something? And it's there to hold that for you. But what does it mean to the person who has the deposit? There's more coming. There's more coming. You have a deposit of the Holy Spirit. There's more coming. And you know, sometimes we say, when I get to heaven, well, you can wait that long if you want to, but there's more for us here from him that we as his children have access to. There is more coming. Galatians 3:53, so again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by you believing what you heard? We're going to go back to the law. We're going to believe what we heard through Jesus. Jesus who said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. Jesus who said, the things you've seen me do, you'll do, and even greater things. Whew. Even greater things than Jesus? Wow. That's ours. That's for us. That's Holy Spirit in us. How many of you know you're the temple of the Spirit of God? How many know that you're the temple of the glory of God? Remember back, it says, and the robe, and his robe filled the temple. The presence of God fills the temple. The glory of God fills the temple. Woo! I don't know about you guys, but it's something to get excited about. Maybe you're not. I am. Come with me or not, whatever. And we know that as we go on and on, like I said, for time's sake, as we go on and on through the scripture, there's just more and more and more and more and more. God gives and blesses his people. He gives us the Holy Spirit without measure, according to John 3:34. And he will never leave us or forsake us, John 14:16. And so we give praise and thanks to God. I'm going to quickly go through these. Ezra 3:11 says, "With praise and thanksgiving we sang to the Lord. He is good. His love towards Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. And in Hebrews there, it talks about Jesus, who is our firm foundation. The foundation of the house has been laid. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. He is our firm foundation. We can stand on his finished work. And we as his people need to understand that the chief cornerstone has been laid. Psalms 30 or 93, verses 1 to 3. "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout out loud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol his name with music and song. For the Lord is great, the great King above all." And again, Revelation and Psalms there talks about Jesus. He is our rock. He's the one we stand on and will not be shaken. Though the ground move away. How does that song go, Rebecca? I can't remember the words all that. But we sang it this morning. Jesus is our rock of salvation. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. He is great King above all gods. Psalm 7:17, "I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing praises of the name of my Lord, Lord Most High." Is Jesus our righteousness? Well, now we're talking about our righteousness in Corinthians. I can keep going on and on and on, but through scriptures, but I'll stop there. But I do want to end by sharing a story with you. The story is called "Hold My Mule." And I'm going to give you a little bit of background to it. It is an expression used in the Deep South. And it's used and refers to when something's about to happen with me, I'm coming with my mule. If something's about to happen to me or I'm going to get involved in something, hold my mule. Now, the other thing that happens with that is the speaker. So it became an expression. Now, a speaker in the church, when they were preaching, they would use that expression to refer to what we would call being slain in the spirit or getting happy in the spirit, laughing in the spirit. And so the pastor get up and get going, and it's just like, oh, man, hold my mule. The Lord's doing something. They were getting excited about the Lord. So Shirley Caesar, she's a Southern state pastor. She tells the story of "Hold My Mule." It's of a 68-year-old man named John who joined an uptight, spiritually dead church. Anybody ever been to one of those? From the moment John joined, his presence disturbed the whole congregation. Because he would come in every week singing and shouting and dancing. And as the sermon began and the preacher would go on, he would dance his way through the pews and around the sanctuary. And everybody would raise an eyebrow of disapproval. For the sake of the congregation, the deacons tried to intervene. But John couldn't be contained. They couldn't hold down his legs. His arms would flail out. And when they held down his arms, his legs would kick out in dancing. After church one day, the deacons talked amongst themselves. Did John not know that to act like that in our not to act like that in our church? Did John know that there were dignitaries and all sorts of important people in our church? And the deacons decided that something had to be done. So they drove out to John's place in their fine cars, the BMWs and Saabs and whatever. And as they pulled up into John's ransacked house, they found him out plowing in a field behind an old beat-up mule. They walked out to talk to him. And as they approached him, John said to them, "I know why you're coming out here, deacons. You're coming out here to tell me that I shout and I dance too much in church." One of the deacons replied, "That's right, John. If you don't stop shouting, if you don't stop dancing, if you don't do that, we're going to have to put you out of the church." John said, "Well, then, I'm going to have to be put out of the church because I can't hold my peace. And let me tell you why." He says, "Look at that land you just drove over. God gave me that land. But you don't want me to shout it in the church. look at all my children. God gave me all my children. Not one of them have I been to the courthouse on their account. Not one time have I been to the cemetery. But you don't want me to dance in the church. Look at me, he said. I'm 60 or 86 years old, and I still am able to walk behind my old mule and still able to harvest my own crops.